advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
Not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome. We'd like to thank you for downloading this edition of the Sofa King podcast.
What if they streamed it?
Oh!
It's still technically downloading.
Well, yeah, it counts. And we are just killing it. Sofa King podcast is killing it. Speaking of killing it, we're talking about Sandy Hook today.
That was a really rough transition.
It made me laugh before the thing.
I'm comfortable with it. It's
you okay. Are?
Yeah.
All right. So... So we're talking Sandy Hook, who was given, we were given this topic. Well, obviously we had thought about this topic and it's been a long time coming. Do you know who?
Are you just going to throw that on
this?
Me?
Yeah, I'm throwing it right
His
now.
His name's Armando and he lives in Riverside.
Armando from Riverside.
Homie hit me up in the middle of the movies. I was watching Star Wars again and I got the message. Yeah.
You watched it more than once?
That was my second time. I only went twice. I'm not like crazy.
That's why I think those numbers are padded, like the movie numbers. How many actual people went and saw Star Wars? Like 3? They just saw it a bunch of times.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Not to the movie studio.
Well, no, not the movie studio.
Like, for example, we're selling awesome t-shirts that you can get on our Facebook page.
If you bought more than one.
You can buy an awesome t-shirt with the Tesla pigeon firing lasers out of its eyeballs, or you can buy a t-shirt or a sweatshirt with a cool Sofa King logo designed by none other than Brad.
Yes.
However, if you decided you wanted to order 30 of them, or if 30 people ordered
them. Yeah, we don't care.
I'm just as fucking happy either way.
That's true. I don't care. But for popularity's sake.
Yeah, that hoodie link, just so it's clear, like Dave said, there's women's shirts, men's shirts, and hoodies all with that design and multiple colors. So when you click on that, you don't have to buy a $40 hoodie. There's $20 shirts.
I accidentally ordered the purple woman's shirt. But when I get it, I can send it back, tell them it's the wrong size, and they'll send me the right one for free. You don't even have to send the other one back.
But if you want one of the current shirts, you have to do it soon because they have a limited time before the print run is out.
It'll tell you, what is it, like 12 days on the Tesla one and 13 days on the regular design.
So you'll have, when this drops, you'll have like another week or so to get them. So if you see one and you're like, oh, that's the shit, like, because I always see t-shirts and stuff, I think about it and it's like, oh, I'll get it next month, whatever.
Yep. But and we know assholes, this drops on payday on the 15th. So like right there. So
you got no excuses.
Sales better boost on those days. Or else we're quitting. I'm quitting.
Before we get into Sandy Hook, we also needed to inaugurate a new whiskey for the whiskey wall. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So this is from who, Brad?
This is a local whiskey. It's actually distilled here locally in Big Sur, California. And it's from...
Bowen Whiskey and Bart's Parts gave this to us. I went and bought a muffler for my VW bus because one day, one part at a time, I will be driving a VW bus in true hippieism.
Yes, he will be. He will complete. It's like a sex change for a tranny, but it's Brent's hippie change.
So they like the show and gave us the whiskey?
Yeah, like I went in to buy my muffler and I always try to network and say, hey, here's a sticker. We have a podcast. You guys are sitting here all day. It's two dudes in there. Like I figure they can probably hear cuss words. And I said, we drink whiskey and we talk about conspiracy theories or controversial things. And he was immediately on it. And he was like, hey, what kind of whiskey do you guys drink? And he happens to know the owner. So he was helping out. He's been friends with the owner of this whiskey since he was like 5. So I was out running errands and the other tech said, hey, Bart's Parts just brought you a bottle of whiskey for the podcast. So we had promised, it's now Bart's Parts Bowen Whiskey for the Whiskey Wall of Fame.
Yep. And we need to inaugurate it by having a drink of Bowen's toasting, whiskey.
Toasting. Toast me, guys.
I'm toasting you. Shit.
Ooh, that one's different than the one we had the other day.
I like it a lot.
It's good. It is smoky. Good.
It is sweet. Like, mm-hmm. It's like got a caramely flavor.
I dig it.
That one, this one, it is small batch whiskey. And so I would assume that each batch tastes a little different.
It does, a little bit different.
Yeah, because the one we had at a restaurant, we took a little sip of one just to taste it. And it tasted a lot different than that. Like, not a lot, but
there's different. Slight yeah. differences.
It's a little smokier.
And it's 90 proof.
It was, yeah.
It's 90 proof. It's one of my favorite whiskeys. I love Bowen's whiskey. I've been drinking it for a while. So I'm glad we got it. It's not like me inaugurating it was the first time I drank it because I'm a fan.
Well,
but
that was only my second one, different bottle. And it had a slight different flavor. So that's kind of cool. Like, no, you never know what you're going to get.
It's good. Good stuff.
Yep. So,
today we're talking about Sandy Hook. And I know there is a big conspiracy surrounding Sandy Hook, big conspiracy theory about what happened or didn't happen at Sandy Hook. And we decided to look into the episode, I consciously said, I'm not going to look at any of the conspiracy stuff. I don't want to know it. I don't really know it. So I kept my head in the so-called facts of Sandy Hook, and that's really all I brought to the table because I want to hear this conspiracy stuff from your guys' side and see what's going on.
You want to see how crazy we are?
I want to see. I don't know. Maybe it won't be crazy. I mean, to date, the conspiracy theory that I thought was going to be the most ludicrous that we shouldn't even discuss was the Challenger explosion, and that was the conspiracy theory that I most supported when I got done.
Yeah. It's rough, man. Some of these are rough. Yeah.
I mean, some of them are just clear bullshit, like, right away.
It's like they hide the true ones in with all of the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, unless you really research and study, you never know. Like, these things are – and we could be totally off base and wrong. What are you drinking there? Some old-ass New York seltzer water.
Man. Yeah. So yesterday was my birthday. Sid Melvin bought me jerky, and he bought me a New York seltzer. I don't know if I'm dating myself for sure, but this is like the drink that I got at the liquor store for 25 cents when I rode my bike over there when I was little. And they have recently re-released it.
Yeah. Oh, they did? I thought that was just an old-ass bottle.
No, they re-released it.
Yeah, it's in a glass bottle.
Is that cherry or something?
It's like it's raspberry.
Ooh.
And it's a blast from the past. I like drinking that was so nostalgic. It tastes just like it tasted.
No, it's legit. They came. Yeah. I saw them in Oregon in December. They had it.
I'm going to contact them. New sponsor. Apparently, World Market Cost Plus has it. And then someone told me they got it at like a normal store.
I think BevMo might have it too.
Probably because they mix them with drinks. Yeah. With seltzer water. Yeah.
Yeah. New York seltzer. That's pretty awesome, want to sponsor us, it's probably owned by Nestle or something.
So if you're old, old school and you're, I remember I used to love New York seltzer when I was in high school.
I've never actually had seltzer. Water and whiskey owner
back in the day.
It doesn't say Nestle or anything. It says bottled under the original authority of New York Seltzer.
That sounds New World Order-ish.
Yeah, that does sound kind of fucking ominous. Bottled under the authority of
the Department of Defense
of your underworld lord Xenu.
Someone's probably. What? I'm gonna start a conspiracy that's the Twin Tower. That's the Twin Towers or something. Which actually,
it probably is.
It probably is because it's a New York logo.
If it's the same logo, that shit came back from the 80s.
Yeah. No, where the Twin Towers weren't tilted. Is that the Twin Towers right there? The same logo. I think the Twin Towers are on there.
Well, that's part of the 9/11. Conspiracy on the New York seltzer water thing. They're already falling.
That's right.
So
there's a little plane in there.
So Sandy Hook. What? That's part of what happened. Sandy Hook. No planes involved that I know of.
Should have been some helicopters, but there weren't.
Sandy Hook, December 14th, 2012. And people might not. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as Sandy Hook. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as Newtown. It was in Newtown, Connecticut, and it was at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. So that's why it's got both names. So if you hear Sandy Hook, they're talking about the name of the school. So on December 14th, 2012, this is the official report of what happened. And most of this comes from the actual police investigations and the final court reports, some of where I got a lot of this information. So the main person who did the shooting was Adam Lanza, 20 years old.
Allegedly.
I'm not saying allegedly because I'm just reading.
These are the facts.
What they are saying. So Adam Lanza, 20 years old, kills his mother, Nancy Lanza, and then leaves the house. So people.
With a 22 too, to the head, brutal. Three shots to the head, 22 in the bed. He had an array of guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She had an array
of guns.
She had an array of guns.
Armory.
So after he kills the mom, he grabs a Bushmaster XM15 ES2, an AR-15 rifle.
In true Dave fashion, lots of letters.
He grabs a Glock 20 SF 10mm handgun and a Sig Sauer P226 9mm.
I didn't know there was a 10mm for the record.
I didn't either. I never
heard
of that.
10mm, yeah.
I never heard that.
And then supposedly in his car, there was an Ismash Saiga 12 shotgun. Mm-hmm. I've never in my life heard of Ismash Saiga 12.
That's the Saiga 12 is a semi-automatic shotgun with the magazine is kind of like an AR-15 magazine, but
sounds like Al Qaeda to me, man. Sounds like ISIS.
Yeah, it is like the assault rifle of shotguns.
So is like the Saiga 12 the type
the
and
Saiga
Ismash 12, happened
the,
to make this one or is, are they the
yeah,
only
Ismash
ones who
is
make
the
it?
The brand, like that's actually the good brand. Like she's got some good guns.
But other people make Saiga 12s?
Yeah, other people make Saiga 12s.
So it's like saying a 1911.
It's like an AK-47. There's different brands. You can get like an Israeli, a Russian, a Chinese, you know. So
this was supposedly in Lanza's car. So he kills his mom, grabs the weapons, gets on black fatigues and a military vest, goes to Sandy Hook Elementary School. Sandy Hook had just recently installed new security measures because of mass shootings. So there was a new – you had to get buzzed in and someone had to see you to buzz you in and all the doors would lock down at 9:30. He got there at 9:30 and the doors were locked down.
He was also wearing yellow earplugs and shooting glasses apparently, which I think is an oddity that's worth mentioning.
Yes. And he's autistic.
He is autistic and he has Asperger's. Supposedly. He's got other – I'll talk about that too. He's got other – there are other factors than just that the guy had some problems. So supposedly he shoots his way in with the AR-15, gets through the door. And inside – so depending on who's saying the numbers, either 26 people died, 27 people died, or 28 people died. Because 26 people died at the school – his mother died making it 27. He killed himself making it 28. So 26, 27, or 28. But 26 died in the school. 20 of them were children.
How could you report that just 26 died? Like it's 28 people were killed in this act.
Right, right. So, but almost everybody everybody said – but then I guess if you're calling it Sandy Hook, then 26 died at Sandy
Actually,
Hook.
Actually 27 because he killed himself.
He killed himself. That's true. So 27 died at Sandy Hook.
Get your facts straight,
that's
people.
That's true.
And two were actually pronounced at a hospital. So there's that weirdness.
Right. So that's 24, 23. I mean, really six, really none died.
So didn't happen.
20 students, and we're talking about mostly first grade students, so 6 and 7 years old. According to all the police reports, Lanza entered the building, and the first classrooms near the front door are the ones that he attacked. So he entered Lauren Russo's class. She was a substitute teacher, shot all 14 students in the classroom and shot her. Next went into another classroom. A teacher named Victoria Soto moved all the first graders away from the door. Lanza moved in, shot her, and shot 6 of the students.
I'd like to say he also bypassed the first door on the left, only because it had a piece of black construction paper over the window. So it's so crazy. Like that was the determining factor for a bunch of kids to live or die, because when he walked by, it looked like the lights were off and the door was shut and he just walked past it. And it was left over from a drill.
It was left over from an active shooter drill.
The week prior.
Yeah. And the teacher just happened to never take the blackout paper down, which means why wouldn't you just, if it was that effective, why don't you just leave those papers up or get rid of the windows? Yeah. Like we need the fucking windows if people are getting shot. No, I read that as well.
That in an active shooter drill, if we put black over the windows, the shooters will not come into the classrooms. But hey, after we're done with this drill, go ahead and take the paper
go ahead
down.
And take all the black down.
It should literally just be that the doors are auto-locked unless you open it from the inside.
Well,
like, out.
And this is the problem. We're trying to go chronological, but the fact is that they're on the FBI website, they had an active shooter drill. It wasn't at Sandy Hook. The layout of Sandy Hook was not when they filmed everything, all of the commercials or not commercials, but news editorials, the stories, everything was wrong. So, I mean, we can keep going on the facts.
Yeah, let's keep going on the facts.
Okay.
Let's keep going. I just did one of those. No offense, but blah, 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 blah.
Well, I'm just saying, it's hard for me to set
right,
here
right,
and
I know,
listen
right.
to this.
No. And, yeah, don't take and, my chronological Nazism over here.
No, but, I understand. It's hard to sit here and listen to this when I'm like, there's so many other facts and things
right.
involved.
Yeah, no, right. pertinent things interject crazy. For sure.
So
continue, Dave.
The first 911 call comes in 911. The first 911 call comes in at 9:30, right when the bullets start firing. Mm-hmm. The first cops hit the scene 2:41 after the cops got the broadcast. And I thought, like, not even looking at conspiracy theories, that was just somewhat odd to me because that's so different from the national average. The average mass shooting, and it's really fucking sad that we have an average yeah. of mass shooting yeah. times, but the average mass shooting, according to the Department of Homeland Security, is 12.5 minutes long.
Yep.
And the average response time for first responders and cops to get on the scene is 18 minutes. Yep. So most
and
active
that's more
shooter,
realistic.
Most active shooter responses, I mean, it ends up with them having already killed themselves before the cops yeah. get there more often than not. But this one, the cops were there in 2:40, which is pretty – I mean, I'm not
– I had read – there's so much conflicting stuff, and I try to do that. I read 7 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. It was
– That's what time the next one showed
The thing up. That I read is that 2:41 after the police broadcast the shooting,
okay.
a cop showed up at the school. So if there was a 5-minute buffer yeah. between the 911 call and then – I mean, yeah. that would account for the gap. But from the moment it entered the police – like according to the police report, it went out.
Scanner, like
the
boom,
scanner, it
shooting,
went out.
Shooter to school,
and
yeah.
then the call-in that they pulled up was 2:41 later. So there's definitely a buffer between yeah. the moment that 911 call happened. The call itself is going to be several minutes long. So that was all. But still, a remarkably fast thing. As the cops approached, Lanza saw them and shot himself. I believe the cops reported seeing him shoot himself, like he saw them and then shot himself as they were coming up. So the investigation, the initial media reports said that Lanza's mom
that doesn't make any sense
had
either.
Some involvement at the school, but later investigations from the FBI and the police department say she really didn't have any involvement in the school.
Yeah, a lot of conspiracy theorists try to latch onto that, but man, when stuff's going crazy and there's just stories flying, everybody wants to be first to say right. we right. found this, we found that. But then right. they interviewed the superintendent of the school district, and she said, "At this time, I don't have any evidence of that."
Her actually,
she was supposedly a retired teacher from that school.
Lanza's father, Nancy Lanza's ex-husband, Peter Lanza, did in all of his stuff. He gave no interviews. He didn't say shit. And then he gave one interview for The New Yorker where he explained a lot. And he, in all of the stuff from when they were still married, he had boxes and boxes of all the stuff that was mailed from the house after the shooting, all of her stuff, all of yeah. his stuff. And he found one certificate that was just like some little crappy thanks for volunteering at this event
say.
Thing.
Yeah.
So there was indication that there was one, like...
It wasn't even an event. It said like... Thank you for your volunteer work. Our kids' like achievement would have never happened this year or something okay. if it wasn't for your efforts. It was like a card, yeah, that they discovered right. a year after the event or something.
So some people think that she might have just shown up and done a single thing and got a bulk card, or some people think
yeah, she didn't
she
have to work
involved.
Because the husband's like rich and she right. just she doesn't yeah. work, yeah.
Other people said that they thought that the killer, Lanza, had an altercation with several staff members a couple days before. But again, the police investigation indicated that he hadn't.
Yeah, there was supposed to be an altercation with 4 people, 3 of which were killed
right.
there, and the other one just didn't work that day.
But the court proceedings and all that stuff proved out that hadn't happened.
They couldn't find evidence of a report.
The media, again, heard it and right. spread it, and that wasn't the case. So police said that he reloaded often. Just a tidbit I found. He had 30-round magazines for his AR-15, and most of them still had around 15 bullets left. So he would fire for a while and then swap out for a new clip because most of the clips were still
magazine.
Half
yeah,
magazines. It makes me think like that's like video game weird. Like, because in real life, you wouldn't do that. You would pull, click, click, drop, load. But video games, you have like just ammo. Like you're constantly reloading so that if you run around the corner, you don't have to. Like you drop clips.
But that's the thing. But, and again, I don't. That didn't seem odd to me either because of that same thing. If I'm playing Call of Duty, I'll fire four bullets and I've got, you know, eight left and I reload because no one's in front of me. Yeah.
On a video game when you have infinite resources.
Right. But if he's got a bunch of magazines on his vest and he's not planning on.
Not that it matters one way or another. It was just an observation of like kid have with real gun video game translation.
The other thing is too, though, like he never shot a gun before. Supposedly.
No, he went to the range
a lot.
That's not what I read right now.
His mom took the kids to the range all the time. Like the brother.
It fucked his dad up because in the interview with his dad, he said that early on he started, and this is like parenting. This is fucking parent of the year material right here. So his kid has Asperger's, right? He had Asperger's, mm-hmm. and he was obsessed with mass murders. And from all the readings that they had done on Asperger's and particular types of autism, if you can engage with your child on the thing that they're fixated with, you can start to make connections.
Right.
So they intentionally took the kid to the shooting range all the time and bought a bunch of guns because they thought they would connect with him more. So they actively trained him to shoot. You know?
Like generally that type of condition is associated with some type of fixation. Normally it's WWE or something and you love a wrestler so hard that you're covered in posters, but he loved mass shooting bugs.
He had a massive spreadsheet tracking over 500 mass murders.
A 7 foot by 4 foot Excel spreadsheet of like 5,000 mass shootings that he kept a scorecard of was found in his room.
Wow. It was on the hard drive. That's what it would have printed out as. And that was even hard to get because he damaged the hard drive before he left the house so that no one could find, because he had tons of clips and notes and all kinds of things about mass murders. Like he had been storing all this stuff on his computer.
And apparently they reported the damage to the hard drive like within hours. It's like way too fast. Like before they even searched the trunk of the car, they reported that they found the hard drive or something that he had damaged. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're raiding the house at the same time.
Yeah, if they were raiding the house at the same time, I mean, you'd go straight for his computer.
But they don't go into the car trunk until it's dark. It's weird. There's the video of them finally searching the car.
Yeah, and how long does it take for a professional place to fetch data off of a damaged drive? It takes a while.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get the data. They just knew that there was a damaged drive. Later they got the data.
Yeah. But I thought
the other thing is if he like was like, today's the day I'm doing it, and he killed his, like, if this was his plan, then that hard, it's like the, I mean, the hard drive was probably sitting on a table next to a hammer.
Right.
I mean, I
just think that
they probably didn't have to look very hard to like, find the hard drive.
Procedurally and protocol, like, that the car that's pulled up front, black car, like, doors all open, hoodie on the ground, clearly the car he got out of.
You would clear the car first before
you would
anything.
Clear that car, and they waited till like, dark. I mean, talking about 9 a.m. They waited until it was dark outside, and were checking the trunk with flashlights.
Again, I can't.
You don't think that's weird?
I don't think that's weird. Because, I mean, they would have cordoned off the car. They would have had.
I'm not a cop. I don't know.
A forensics team would have come, and there would have been more pressing forensic data in the building than the car itself. I could see that happening.
I'll give it that. I'm trying to be non-biased and level-headed. They only have one forensic person.
Like I think you would
Newtown,
have
Connecticut.
People.
I don't know how big their forensics team.
They
but
had
I mean,
only had
either way,
like one homicide convenient. In like forever, like 20 years or something leading up to that event. Nothing ever happened there ever. So it was probably like
I'm just saying
Barney Fife.
Well, that's the issue is they don't have any qualified. I would even say that their officers were not qualified to handle a murder.
Maybe they had state troopers and stuff showed up.
But I mean, when you've got 26 dead bodies in a building, your forensics people are on that shit.
No one's ready for that either.
So I could see where the car would wait till night. So the other things that I read, a lot of which I don't initially, the police thought that Lanza's brother Ryan Lanza was the perpetrator because he had his ID.
Right.
So the killer Lanza had Ryan Lanza's ID on him, and Ryan Lanza had to turn himself into the police once he saw on TV what was happening, and he walked up with his hands raised and said, "I'm Ryan Lanza. I'm not the one you're looking for." You know,
why were they looking for him? He was dead in the.
Well, you got to figure stuff out. Who knows on that? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everything's crazy.
Because every time there's a mass shooting, they always mention that there's still, you know, as far as we know right now, there was only one shooter. Like they're always looking for more than one.
Yeah, and Adam Lanza.
And they did do that. There were people running through the woods. Like there was a bunch of, it was crazy. There was a dude with guns. There was hunters out there. There was people running. One of them was a off-duty I don't know if he was a federal or state officer. I forget what I read, but he was an officer that was off duty. He was
and
in
heard
the woods
shots, right?
With weapons, heard shot, but he was running away.
Right.
There's some like, weird there's helicopter weird, footage.
Yeah,
of
there's
that.
Weird stuff. They, like they're chasing him, and it's like, why are you running?
The
if
one was supposed to be the guy that they detained in the woods. I can't think of his name right now, but when they detained him, he said, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." But he was wearing camo, and he was at the school to make gingerbread. But they do live in a weird little mountain town. Like maybe you just wear camo
and
like,
make gingerbread. Yeah.
That's, like, that's how you get in. Like,
Mama, I need my gingerbread camo.
Like, apparently, he was on his way to school to make gingerbread.
Man,
he was like running because he heard shots. But like,
we're making sacrificial people cookies.
Sad dad. Like, you heard shots at the school and you ran away?
Yeah.
Like, go save your kid.
Well, especially if you're, yeah, and especially
if you're a mountain man wearing camo, do you not have a
gun
in the truck?
Yeah, they did have guns. Like, that's the crazy
thing. I don't
think
that guy had a gun, though.
No, the one off-duty officer did have a gun, and he was running away. So, like, there's so many things that don't make sense.
Well, if you hear shots and dudes start chasing you, you probably run, though. If that happened in that order, so.
Right.
Where the police stop, like, run, like, no. I don't know.
Right.
Who knows? You don't know. It's like one of those things that your helicopter footage, all you have is hearsay from what people said, you know?
So I want to say a little bit about his psychological profile. Right. Are there any more specifics about the day itself that we want to cover? Okay.
I didn't know how crazy.
So, the media picked up on the fact that they announced, you know, once they got into his room and the police released this as well, He had an NRA certificate of firing all the firearms that were there because his mom was a gun enthusiast. He had 3 samurai swords, which they kept reporting, which I thought was a really fucking stupid thing to report.
Trying to tag onto the violence.
I have like 8.
Yeah.
Like, what?
They're
like,
hanging in my living room.
Exactly. Like, who gives a shit?
I love samurai swords.
Anyway, I even have a Klingon bat lift, so I guess I...
Oh, you're a murderer.
Yeah, exactly.
You are a murderer, sir.
But in the New Yorker... his father, Peter Lanza, gave his first and maybe only interview, and he described – I keep forgetting his first name. I just have Lanza written. What's the kid's name? Adam Lanza.
Adam.
So yeah. He reported that Adam as a kid was like very funny, huge sense of humor. On Christmas, he insisted that all the gifts that his parents planned on giving him, they gave to needy children. And he even had like a small savings account from all of his allowances. And he insisted that they spend all of his allowance on Christmas gifts for needy children. And they had all this stuff. At some point, he developed what they called a sensory integration disorder,
right,
where things like the tags on his clothing or sounds or smells, he couldn't tune out. And it started to basically drive him crazy.
Hmm. My daughters have that.
Really?
Yeah. Not the sounds or smells, but the tags on their clothing
drive them nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had it real. I mean, like, he had it really, really bad. He had Asperger's, signs of autism, OCD, had been to many doctors of many fields. He had tried various pharmaceuticals Lexapro, like all this different stuff to do it. Once he got into middle school, his father said he completely changed. The sensory overload of the new school became too much. He started to have panic attacks and he just completely.
And the mom wouldn't let him take the medication. They discontinued the medication.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that part.
I had a shot or two.
He came to hate holidays. He never laughed anymore. He developed what his father referred to as a lumbering gait, and he wouldn't even walk. He hardly ate.
So his dad just left? Like,
well, his dad wasn't there, and he didn't really want
to. His dad's like describing all this stuff.
Well, up
his
to dad, they got divorced.
The 2 years before this happened, he had pulled in so much. Adam Lanza had retreated to himself so much that he wouldn't speak to anybody, and he wouldn't talk to his father. Yeah. He would barely talk to his mother, so his dad was actively trying to reach this kid. But the kid wouldn't
check this out. At the end, Adam Lanza only communicated from the same house with his mother through email. He had taped black plastic over all of his windows, and he quit talking to his brother and his dad years prior. Like, there was at least like 3 years of separation with his dad, maybe 2 years with his brother. But he lived in the house with his mom and only communicated through email to her from the same house.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of email. The dad had tons of email. He printed it all out and had this stuff.
They think he had undiagnosed schizophrenia because everyone just attributed, he has obsessive compulsive, the washing of the hands and all the weird little things that he does and the Asperger's, and that he probably had schizophrenia.
Yeah,
and
it's crazy the things that MK Ultra can do to you.
That's right. I mean, he was a damaged kid, man. I mean, at the end, he was anorexic to the point of malnutrition.
It's like a bruised banana.
He was 6 feet feet tall and 112 pounds.
That is skinny.
Like that. Wow. Like he was. Yeah.
I want to know what diet he was on.
He was fucking the don't eat anything and throw it all up diet is what he was on.
Which does bring into question 30 pounds of ammo, a long rifle, and
sure, pistols. It does.
No. Yeah.
So then a couple of things that his dad said, and then this is pretty much all I have on the facts. A quote from his dad: the social awkwardness, the uncomfortable anxiety, being unable to sleep, stress, unable to concentrate, having a hard time learning, the awkward walk, the reduced eye contact, you could see the changes occurring very rapidly. So apparently all this stuff happened to him really quickly. And then he had emails, Peter, the father, had emails with the mother, Nancy, from 2008, and just some excerpts from them that he shared with the reporter. These were emails from Nancy to Peter, the same year that Adam did the shooting. This is when he was 20. Quote, he had a horrible night. He cried in the bathroom for 45 minutes and then missed his first class. 2 weeks later, she wrote one that said, quote, I'm hoping that he pulls together in time for school this afternoon, but it's doubtful. He's been sitting with his head to one side for over an hour doing nothing. And then later that year, she wrote one that said, Adam had a rough night. He moved all caps, everything out of his room last night. He only kept his bed and wardrobe cabinet. And by this point he had developed a fascination with mass murder, and he just like whatever mental illness he was suffering just ramped up. Maybe it was just because he wasn't on the meds and the mom was refusing him. Maybe he wasn't getting good treatment. Maybe he was just too far gone. But so this is sort of the profile of the kid, good kid starting out, but then everything took a turn.
And it's like crazy. Cause like, what type of father are you? Like, you're letting these emails come through and you're trying to like saying that you tried to do something, but
I don't know. What do you do though?
And that's, well, you,
I
mean, you get professional help. Right? Like, you seek professional help. You know,
dad money too. Actually,
yeah, like, yeah. Dad makes you have money. It's one thing if you were poor. You know what I mean? And you have nothing to do. You can't do anything. You don't have health insurance. You don't have anything. But to let this go as far as it did, knowing that he has a fascination with killing people, knowing that you trained him how to use guns, knowing, you know what I mean, knowing all these things. And saying that you're trying to do something when you're just communicating over email.
If the reporter conveys the accuracy of meeting with the man, he was fucked up about it. Like he was,
yeah, because
he was,
you
like,
fucking let it happen.
I let this, I encouraged it to happen. I let it happen. I didn't do what I should have done. But then at the same time, he had what I think is a fairly healthy mindset as well, which is, I don't know that I could have done anything anyway. Like he was, I don't know that it is with mental illness. There's, I mean, there are mental illnesses and there's just nothing you can
there are institutions, he could have been locked up and he probably should have been committed
somewhere.
You have to
getting
think
24
that the
hour
mom
care
had to be sketched out, like sleeping in that house. But I read stuff that the brother said that the mom held no fear from
kept the door unlocked, all the guns were right there
and that she didn't scare. But your kid is like taping black plastic over his windows, hangs out in the basement all day and does target practice. I heard in the basement, possibly, like they said there were some evidence that he had target practice.
That's where I call bullshit at. Like, you know, I love my son so much, he's not gonna hurt me.
And then he puts all his stuff outside, cries with his head to the side, like just and obsesses and creates spreadsheets. But I mean, I don't know. You just ignore it, I guess.
I mean, maybe it's all hindsight. You know what I mean? Like hindsight's 2020.
No one thinks that that's really going to happen, though.
Bullshit.
Probably.
Bullshit. Because I know people think I'm going to kill people. Like, everybody's always worried about me killing somebody. And I'm not going to go out there and do it unless I have to. But, you know, I'm not crazy.
Objection sustained. Yeah. Because you're totally right.
So that's according to the court documents. That's according to the police documents. That's according to the media. That's the story of Sandy Hook in Newtown and Adam Lanza. So, from
the official story,
so we're done.
That seems so solid and arguable. And when you're presented that over the news, if this happened, it's a horrible thing, right? And no offense to anyone.
Well, this is
if you lost children or something.
Yeah,
right?
and this is something that I'm on the fence about, because it on one side, it's really hard to cover up something of that amplitude.
The entire town, there's still a population of 200,000 or something there, I think. It wasn't like
on the other side of it.
It's a small town.
On the other side of it, I mean, there's the middle where this did happen, and they used it as a gun ban, you know what I mean, fuel.
Yeah, like it really happened. They took opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never, what is it? The never let a disaster or whatever.
Never let a disaster go to waste. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the middle of it. And then the other side was, it was just set up and it was an opportunistic ploy by the government to use it as like, hey, we really need to scare the shit out of the population. Like, let's kill little kids. Oh my God, are you crazy? No, they're not really going to die. We're just going to scare the shit out of the population.
I mean, it made me nervous.
We can ban these fucking guns. Like, we need to get the guns off the street.
I still think about because that. Killing like, it everybody. Scares me. You know what I mean?
No, my daughter is turning 7 in April. Right. You know what I mean? So like, she's 6 right now. That's turning age, 7. Yeah. It's the age. Like, and when this happened, my other daughter was in first grade. You know, and so like, it really hits home, you know, to if something like that ever happened, it is emotional and it's, you know, it scared the living shit out of me. And I'll go into a story that how I got introduced to this whole thing.
Real quick, population 27,000.
Oh, 27,000.
Okay.
So, started with a 2. I was pretty close.
Yep. So it's like if something happened in Taft or something, you know, like, but you know, you hear this on the news, it's kind of like 9/11, you know, I remember going into work 9/11 and watching the news and the planes hit the towers on this little 19-inch TV that was in our office, you know, and you're in disbelief.
Right.
This was no different. I remember, you know, getting, you know, the reports from different people and social media and all this stuff about, you know, these kids were murdered. And I'm like, and I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. Like, this is real. It was unbelievable, you know, that somebody would go in and why would you go and kill a bunch of first graders, kindergartners, whatever, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you can't think of anything worse. Like,
No. I mean, it's sad when anybody dies. It's sad when anybody, a mass shooter goes into a college and kills 15 college students. It's sad, you know, when a drunk driver kills a family, you know what I mean?
It's but just this the is innocence like, of 6 and 7 kids.
Yeah, I mean, they did nothing to anybody. You know, I mean, there was probably one of those little kids in there who probably deserved it. But I mean, you know, but I mean, the rest of them though, there's no, you know, no reason, no rhyme, no reason. And when you have kids that age yourself, it really, really hits home. You know, like how would you react to something like that? You know, I would want to kill him with my bare hands. I would be mad because he killed himself. And, you know, so I on my end, watching everything play out, I didn't really realize anything. I don't really watch the news. I haven't in a long time. But my buddy at work, he told me, he's like, hey, what do you think about that? You know, what do you think about Sandy Hook? And I said, he said, do you think it's fake? Do you think it's a hoax? And I said, no way, dude. Like that's crazy. Like to even mention a hoax or a false flag thing about Sandy Hook, that is absolutely appalling because no way that they would do something to that effect just to try and trick people. And he said, well, let me tell you this. He's like, watch this video, YouTube, you know, watch this video. He's like, this guy does nothing but news clips. He's like, he does not input his own opinion. He does nothing but news clips and shows you the different things. And I was like, nope. I was like, I'll watch it, but I'm not changing my opinion, dude. No way. So I watched the video. It was 30 minutes long. And when I got done, I was like, holy shit. They fucking set the whole fucking thing up. Like there were so many just loose ends. There were so many things. And this could have been because it was closer. Like there's a lot of things that got tied up a year later, you know, whatever. But there were so many things that part of which we're going to show Dave, some of the parent reactions, people that were in the Actors Guild. They were supposedly parents that were in the Actors Guild. They showed the websites. They showed that active shooter exercise. And kind of how it played out. And there were pictures from news media actually posted pictures from that exercise that were supposedly Sandy Hook. So it was like, hey, this is a picture from this exercise, but yet they're saying it's Sandy Hook.
Right.
I mean, it is literally, you watch these things and you're like, are you freaking kidding me? Like,
you want it to not be real, for one.
Yeah, I mean, you
don't want it to be real.
You really don't want it to be real. So your bias leans towards like, wow, I hope this is a hoax. I hope this is, you know, something that the government put together to try and trick the population so that they can gain, you know, steam in their, you know, anti-gun campaign. You know, I mean, you really hope that. But on the other hand, it's just crazy to think, you know, like, but governments have done it in the past, you know, what length are they really willing to go to, you know, to try and trick you to finally give up your weapons, you know?
It just feels like if you try to picture like your neighborhood school, that someone would know someone who already knew someone who really lost a kid, unless they plan that like 3 years in advance, yeah, and move families in and then move them away.
I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, you have, you search for the families that supposedly lost a child. I'll say supposedly, I mean, could have, I don't know. But there is no trace of the family before Sandy Hook. You know,
it's hard
media.
To read through the shit too.
Yeah, there's so
many
much
crazy
shit.
Foil hat.
Yeah,
shit there, on there. Yeah, to find anything legitimate is difficult. Yep.
There's so much Illuminati. You know, they did this 9/11's LinkedIn. You know, like all this stuff.
So what's the best? So what's the best evidence? Like if there's all the bullshit, like cut through the bullshit and what's
procedurally
some of the-
speaking, like everything that they did was wrong. However, it's a little bit biased because of the horrific nature of what happened. So like, you know,
and they weren't geared for that. They hadn't had a murder in so long. You know.
Maybe they're not ready for it. We'll explain some of the things, but it's the odd. My biggest thing for me is going to be the odd behavior of the people that get in, of everyone that gets interviewed. Everyone, like absolutely everyone, does not act like a human being or act normal. It's very, very odd.
I mean, because picture yourself, Dave. If you watch somebody who lost the child, what do they look like? They're ecstatic. And this is a day after, a day after the shootings. You know, you just lost your child.
Dude,
1 or 2 days
Dave
later.
Dave doesn't have kids. If Vincent, if your dog.
Oh, I'd be a fucking
someone
wreck.
Shot your dog in the backyard yesterday, and I'd tomorrow you have to go on the news to talk about the dog.
Right.
Oh, I'm talking
I'd
about
be
the
a
dog.
You'd be a fucking mess.
Not
I'd
your 7 year old child.
Yeah. And I watch local news all the time. I watch people all the time get interviewed. The only people who don't fall apart and start to cry if they interview him shortly after.
Is
and
a spectator. This is
no, it's not a spectator. It's like the cousin.
Yeah.
It's like the parents aren't on camera because they don't want to fucking talk to anybody. The brothers and the sisters, the husband or the wife. It's like some fucking cousin who's still in the family and you can still tell they're sad, but they can at least talk about it and interview. But if you interview like the immediate
unless you,
and every so often you'll get one and it's like some fucking meth head or some weirdo and like they're not even checking in. But in general, if you watch the news, the only people who can make lucid comments shortly after a murder are like, or it'll even just be like, you know, Sam Jones, family representative. And it's like they're not even a member.
Guy,
of those are the only people.
Or it's like they're interviewing the killer
together.
And he's just cold killer.
Right. But if you're interviewing family members on local news, because trust me, I watch local news every night. If you're interviewing someone shortly after death, they're absolutely wrecked.
Fall apart.
Right.
Screaming, kicking. Somebody's got to hold them back, hold them up.
I get emotional as to the thought of it even occurring from reading the story on the internet, let alone it being your child.
Yeah.
So some of the things that happen, though, is like, for one, there's no trauma helicopters are called in whatsoever. So in life-saving procedures, it doesn't matter if someone's not been breathing for 20 minutes. If you show up on the scene, if you're not a doctor, you cannot declare that person dead. If you're not a doctor, you do everything you can do. You start doing CPR. You put them into transport. You immediately get them to the hospital as fast as you possibly can and continue to try to resuscitate them unless they are decapitated. You know,
to the point where nobody knows.
You know that that is not happening or they're sawed in half like that. You have to try to do it. Like they have paramedic interviews for basis of comparison that say they have had showed up to old people's houses that they haven't been breathing for 20 minutes and they know they're brain dead. It's done.
Yeah.
They still perform CPR. They still try to resuscitate them and they still continue to work on them all the way to the hospital. They're not legally allowed to pronounce them dead. A police officer is not legally allowed to pronounce someone dead. A doctor has to do that.
So how
do people get pronounced DOA?
When they get to the hospital, the doctor pronounces them dead.
At the time,
unless so it's just...
I'm just saying, because like a lot of times you'll see the news and it'll be like, so-and-so, you know, he was discovered dead on arrival.
Probably, maybe someone from the morgue or someone on staff that there's certain certified people to do that. But the point on this, that conspiracy theories...
Well, and they can base the time too, is like, no, when you found him, he was dead.
Okay.
You know,
within 8 minutes?
Yeah.
They said everybody, I mean, and you know what? That's the thing with kids. Like this situation might be separate because everybody in there there was like supposedly 154 rounds let loose on 20 kids. Maybe it was just a bloodbath and it was horrible.
Yeah, 156 rounds were fired. One was fired at nobody. One was in himself and 154 were fired. I mean, and it said that no one who died was hit less than 3 times.
Yeah.
So they were all.
So it might just be horrible and horrific. You walk in there and there's not a noise. It's silent. No one's squirming. moving, no one's moving.
Yeah.
And the cops make the call, but you're not allowed to make the call. They didn't let paramedics into the building. They didn't let any emergency response people into the building. Yep. Only police were let into the building, which makes it really odd. There's a certain set of standards and triage operation. It's called like START or something. And it means that when they show up to a, it's like a mass something event, like a mass casualty event, an MCE or something like that. Mm-hmm. They have a set of operations that there is a standard for across the nation, that certain tarps go out that are colored like yellow and red, and then they go in and they immediately identify each person and they tag them in those categories to like needs immediate response, life threatening, move them, call the helicopter, get them to the hospital, start moving them, or deceased, tag them, move them.
That process
they
get was completely
body bagged. Yeah, completely
just disregarded.
They left the kids in there apparently, according to the stories, like overnight, and they processed them like there in a tent or something in place rather than transport them that in the fashion that they were supposed to. They never let the parents identify the bodies,
which is super odd.
They never got to see them. They showed them pictures of the bodies, which I don't want to see it. Maybe I don't know. I can't even imagine to
that's
be
just
in that
not
situation.
How it works, though.
But
that's
I don't think. I think if my kid was dead in the morgue, I'm not going to be like, "Cool, bag him up, like not let me see it." I don't think I'm going to be okay with that.
No, so, those kids got relocated to new families.
Or if it happened, that's an, but you have to like, as a conspiracy theorist, I have to think about my own contradictory statement. So I'm saying that, oh, why didn't they let the parents see him, but they never died. So, you know, I don't know, but maybe it's just a glitch in the order of operations because they didn't think it was a variable, because if it didn't happen.
Well, this is the other thing though. They just had an active shooter drill there. Like, wouldn't they have had some sort of system, some sort of process? Like, the thing is that everything is so weird and awkward that happened that it makes you question it. Whether it happened or not, I mean, we can't say 100% sitting here around this table, but it makes you absolutely question the authenticity of what went down in the school.
The other huge thing is there's supposedly 600 plus students in attendance at Sandy Hook at the time.
700.
Yeah.
And 91 staff. I think that's where 71.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's 600 plus students and 91 staff members. When you see the evacuation pictures, when you see the videos, when you see the news helicopters that aren't the trauma helicopters,
there's not that,
that
many
there,
students there.
They're just circling. The only thing you ever see of kids is like a handful of kids. Yeah. You see like 12
you
kids
see a line
at most
of them
in a group.
Yeah.
You see that one picture with like the, you know, them walking out with the woman or whatever, with like the with the police officer female. You see one picture of like a sheriff running, holding hands with two women and one girl. There are no other pictures, and the news helicopters are circling and filming the ground, and it's very
and
odd.
When a disaster happens,
everyone's chilling by ambulances. Everything's been moved over to the fire station.
How long?
No one's allowed up to the perimeter.
How long did it take for the news helicopters to get there is the other question.
It's only a 12-minute flight for the triage helicopters from the neighboring town, so I'd have to imagine the news is on it. They're
quick,
in a helicopter.
Yeah. Usually they're there before the police.
And there's
news is always there before the police.
So there's probably timestamps on Channel 12 or whatever it was flying over.
Well, this is the thing. Like, if you remember school, or if you're – I mean, I don't know if your school, you know, where you work at has an evacuation process, but in elementary or junior high, they line up all the kids out in the field in the open.
Right. Right. I remember doing that, yeah.
Right.
And there's just a massive amount of kids. So you think 600 kids –
that's a lot
out
of kids.
Out in the field, you're going to have aerial shots.
No, that's why I was curious how long it took the helicopter. I mean, if the helicopters got there 30 minutes later, then they probably would have dispersed and whatever. But if they were there in 10 or 15 minutes, then the kids would – I am at my school, there was – I think it was maybe a year ago. We used to get – like pre-9/11, we used to get bomb threats all the fucking time. I mean, the bomb threat was code for I didn't fucking study and I want the test to not happen. I mean, it just happened. I mean, there
became an active.
No, exactly. Yeah. But the first couple years I was there, man, it was and no one gave a shit. We didn't give a shit. The students didn't give a shit. The cops would just come in and say, "Hey, there's been a bomb threat." And we'd be like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And we would walk out into the lawn and we'd stand there, and then they'd walk through the building for like 3 minutes and come back out and be like, "You're cool. You can get back in." Because no one ever. Because we all knew that's exactly what it meant. But post 9/11, it just didn't happen at all. But then last year, we actually had a bomb threat in one building, and they told us like the entire campus had to evacuate.
Yeah.
And it took me 20 minutes to get from my car to the road off of campus, because it was just
packed.
Like just people trying to get out. I mean, there was just, you know, thousands
and
of people trying to evacuate an area.
And you work with adults too.
Right.
I worked at an elementary school and a junior high. where the process would be parents have to check out their children.
Right.
And in mass hysteria like that, it would have taken forever.
Right. So they'd all be sort of lined up by teacher, I'm
by
guessing,
teacher, and ain't nobody going nowhere until everybody is ID'd and they figured out who is actually dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't make any sense that they're like, oh, it's these kids that are dead. We already know that. When they haven't been ID'd, nobody knows who's out there in the field. There is no pictures of a field with a bunch of kids. They just all left. How did six kids get over to a neighbor's house?
Let's talk about that Gene Rosen guy too. So yeah, six kids apparently wandered to this guy's house. This guy is so strange. And that's the thing. I mean, there's weirdos, and I guess maybe they want to be on TV and so they do this thing, but that Gene Rosen guy is so creepy. He tells a story that he like harbored these six kids until their parents could be there. And the news interview showing him like sitting in his front room with toys that he let him play with. Like, why do you have these toys? Yeah. Like, what is this weird toy corner you have in your house that he let him play with? And then his story changes. Because he's on news interview after news interview after news interview because he's the guy that helps six kids or whatever.
Right.
And in one story, the parents come pick up the kids. In one story, he escorts them to the fire station. And then he has these weird key phrases that he uses perfectly, exactly every time, like the weapons of mass destruction. Like he's like, and her face was frozen in stone. And they go through it with this really awkward, fake, squirrely crying voice. He says, their face was frozen in stone. Her face, she was so attractive. She's such an attractive woman, which was creepy the way he said it.
Yeah.
But her face was frozen in stone.
Who is he talking about?
He's talking about someone that came to the door to say what had happened. He's reaccounting an interaction with a woman. But he just has these... His story changes as far as the details as to where the kids came and how many there were and where they got left off and when the parents got them. But he has this weird little part that seems like, oh, you memorized your lines, though. Go ahead and make it natural and throw it around a little bit.
And besides him, a lot of the people that were interviewed in all of the interviews that they did and they showed on the news all have been linked to...
Come back to the microphones now.
All have been linked to other people's... or other people that were in other disasters. So that's what got the conspiracy theorists going crazy right away, because that guy, Gene Rosen, AKA Tom Sullivan from the Aurora shooting, you know what I mean? Like, and if you look at the pictures, it's the same dude. One of the ladies who, the principal supposedly from Sandy Hook, was also on air during the Boston bombing as one of the people who died in the Boston bombing.
I have trouble with it a little bit. I mean, there is some crazy pictures that you're like, dang, that is that dude. The thing with Gene Rosen, though, is they have actual aerial like helicopter footage of him with those glasses in that jacket walking on in the crime scene at the times that he was saying he should have been with those children.
There's weird.
I mean, you guys want me to play this clip?
Yeah,
it's like 2 minutes. We can play this clip.
So it's Gene Rosen.
This is Gene Rosen. Let me jump back to the beginning. And it's hard because you have to see it to look this up. I mean, hearing it won't do it justice. Yeah. I really think something that's important when we go through this of talking about parents and whatnot is that body language is like 90% of communication. Yeah. Like, you know when someone feels creepy.
Just
like
feel how you would react.
You don't trust someone because of the way they're acting. You can say everything, but body language is a big thing. But this, it's really fake.
Very staccato shots. They're very quick. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought... How obnoxious. Why would a hunter do that? But I didn't think much of it. I walked outside right there, and I looked down here.
There's never a tear.
So he's crying. He's crying, walking away from the camera.
Six children. They were sitting there. And I had no idea why they were there. And I went down there, and there was that school bus driver, and she said, there's been an incident. And I said, well, just come in the house. And that's how it started. But I brought him in the house. These are the stuffed animals they had, and one of the little girls said, this is my name. I think her name was Emma. And then over the next 30 minutes, they just described what happened, little by little. And these two boys kept saying, we can't go back to school. We can't go back to school. Our teacher is dead. Mrs. Soto, we don't have a teacher. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't take that in.
Call that teacher out by
name, too. I had
no
idea what had happened.
You really know
all
the teachers' names.
A woman came to my house at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Her face Her face looked frozen in terror. I've never seen a face look like that. She said, is my boy here? I heard there were six kids here. And she said the name of the child. I thought if she'd been to the Sandy Hook schools, she thought maybe a miracle from God would have the child at my house.
Oh, that's the other thing.
I looked at the casualty list at 6 o'clock.
Not a tear, though, for the record.
Like, no, he's...
Well, and the other thing is...
He's wiping nothing off his face.
How would Sandy Hook School know that there were six kids at his house, and why would they not go get them?
Right.
Like, you know, officers, right. Somebody
some
go and get those
protocol.
Kids. Yeah, there's a...
Where did they get past the officers? Like, how did those kids get past, like,
how'd they get out? How did they know their teacher was dead? Exactly, their teacher. Why weren't they in the class if their teacher was dead?
Yeah, they said Mrs. Soto was dead.
Yeah.
That's in the class that everybody got shut up, and they make it to that guy's house?
I mean, I could see six kids getting away. I mean,
with the bus driver?
If a door is
they're supposed to be in the class, though.
The problem is there's 8 more interviews with that guy, and he tells that goofy story with his weird fake cry the whole time. And maybe he's a squirrely dude that wants to be on camera, and he was in the Actors Guild or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's very dramatic, and there are weird people in the world. The problem is it doesn't quit with the witnesses being weird people. And maybe they're in some little mountain town, and they are all weird people. Right. I don't know. But it just keeps happening.
And there's stuff.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's one of the things that you're trained in active shooter scenarios, the students would be taught this as well as the staff, is that you need to either be able to hide and barricade yourself, or if the shooter isn't there, you need to run and get as far away as possible. Yeah. So it is possible that six kids, especially if in theory they did have a shooter training the week before, they might have just escaped. Said, fuck it, and bailed out a door and just ran.
That's not my issue. My issue with them escaping isn't the issue. It's after the fact. Maybe they went to the school and found out that I had six kids and just
That's weird.
Maybe
that's
they
weird.
Sent them over here by the grace of God.
And he
that
said
I have
Soto,
the kids.
Which I think is the woman that was killed.
Like, yeah, she is.
Yeah, so
there's
and it's like, why didn't this fucking Creepenstein call 911 and say, hey, by the way, six of those kids are here?
Yeah, there's some weird liability
like,
stuff that comes up later about like if he was aware of the situation, he didn't call soon enough or make them aware.
Victoria Soto was the one that moved her first graders away from the door. Lonza moved in and shot her and shot six of her students. So there probably still would have been 6 to 8 of them.
And there's a weird, there's a picture online on this website. This website that I'm on is like super conspiracy, the 9/11 crazy.
Right.
Like some of the stuff you're just like, oh my God, please. Like you're ruining it. But they do show a picture of her family standing around her grave 4 months after the incident.
Soto?
With no headstone. And it looks to be like a lump on the ground. Like this is none of the other graves look like that. Like they're normal graves with grass over them with a headstone.
It's like an old West grave.
Yeah. Like literally with like stones written her name out over the top of it and like no headstone. They're just in the grass in this cemetery with this fake looking grave. Like it literally looks like that somebody dug a hole and kind of half buried a body in a legit cemetery. So it just it's and this is 4 months after the event that came up on Instagram.
And you guys have another clip of a
now, one of the parents.
I was gonna say the coroner actually would probably be next. If I can spell coroner.
Coroner, CORNER, coroner.
It's the coroner. The county coroner. I've always wondered where the county coroner
was.
Yeah,
so the coroner just saw 26 dead kids.
I was able to find a short version, but so they interview the coroner. There's like a public interview with this guy. Okay, and once again, he's a coroner. That's a weird job to do or even aspire to do or go through the motions. You're already probably a weird dude. But this guy laughs, cracks jokes.
Let's pause the recording and we'll...
When Morehouse Parish resident Wayne Griffin walked out to his backyard at 10 o'clock Monday night, he had no idea this strange life will be...
That is not the right thing. That's why I was worried.
That's some kind
that
of
says Sandy Hook's medical examiner, Wayne Carver, exposed an actor, but then...
Yeah, just go to the...
Spike gunshot wounds.
There he is.
And obviously the manner of death on all these cases has been classified as homicide. I think a lot of our clerical or what they call processing techs who do the paperwork and so forth were there. They're up all on the second floor, and I didn't get there today. I've been at this for a third of a century, And it's my sensibilities may not be the average man, but this probably is the worst I have seen.
He has some weird, like,
was he laughing?
Yeah,
no, he laughs. He makes jokes about it.
Yeah, my sensibility might not be that of the average man.
And then he shakes his head and laughs and smiles. He says that something about the tent, like the temporary morgue tent. He's like, well, we call it a tent, but it was magnificent. But my argument for that is this dude loves looking at dead bodies. Yeah. So maybe he's
weird.
I think
he killed them.
Right?
Like he killed the kids.
So there's just this, and it's hard for us to convey this over audio when you're listening for us to try to throw these little things
in. I mean,
in.
It's obviously something you're going to look at yourself.
You have to look at the corner. You have to look at Gene Rosin.
So show him the next parent who –
the dad.
The dad. And then there's also let me get the names of the people. It's a super awkward video of these people who have been linked to the Actors Guild
Ronnie
again.
Parker, I assume he's going to come back to the microphones now and make a statement. Looks like the family is there. And they're getting ready to make to come
this
to the microphone.
Dad.
So we'll listen to that. Okay.
He's smiling and
laughing. Talking.
Do they need the creepy music?
Yeah, of course they do.
Like, look at that.
So the video is a press conference. They're about to have this is the day after, and the parent is like walking out of the building laughing and like in a really good mood.
My name's Robbie Parker.
And then he flips the switch. And
says,
my name is Robbie Parker. And starts crying.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. Like, you have to, once again, you got to watch it.
That is weird.
These parents here, they're the McDonald's.
I think that might be the ones, just the mother and father.
That they talk about drawing with Sharpies on the casket. It is so odd. Their little, like, beautiful, blonde, 7-year-old little girl is killed. And they're talking to Anderson Cooper. And they're smiling, laughing, and saying, we just had a pocket full of Sharpies. And we drew all over that casket. And they were just smiling and laughing. And there is no way you're doing that. There's no way. Every set of parents laughs and smiles through every interview.
Yeah.
Like you're uncomfortably acting. I'm saying maybe and the same traumatic event happened to a giant group of people and they all have the same variables and their child was killed. Maybe we just don't know that that's your behavior and reaction, but it doesn't seem human.
Well,
it
doesn't seem right that – I mean, I say one set of parents or one parent could react that way and have some sort of filter, but there would be that one or two or maybe 6 or 10 or maybe a majority of the parents who flip the fuck out.
Maybe it's the result of that handsome – charismatic bastard Anderson Cooper being on scene.
Maybe.
Everyone was just like, I'm so sad, but Anderson Cooper, you're so fucking handsome.
It's just interview after interview.
And then this website has Jennifer Greenberg, who is one of the parents with a father, and her reaction is just, she's just like, another day at work. Like, that's what she looks like. Literally, he's talking, no tears, no crying, no nothing. And she's just standing there, no reaction at all, just kind of, you know, oh, I'm just here. And she actually identifies herself as Laura Phelps in another video. And I mean, it could be a different person, but they're twins. So I don't know. There's like weird.
There's 7 billion people on the planet. There could be someone else.
And there's this weird challenger thing where
in a crisis,
you know,
that happened to be on camera. You know what I mean? Yeah. That has the same voice. I mean, it can happen for sure.
Moves their hand the same way.
Anderson Cooper's outside interviewing another couple, and he's saying, "I have to imagine because it's like it's so close to Christmas. I have to imagine getting through the holidays had to be the most difficult thing." And the mom says, "Well, yes or no, yes and no. Like what? Yes and no." That's not your answer.
I mean, literally, like, I mean, maybe I just love my kids more than they did, but if one of my kids
30 days ago or something got killed, was it hard to make it through the holidays? It's hard to make it through fucking Walmart.
It's hard to make it through the hour.
My answer is yes, it was hard to make it through the holidays because it was shopping and your kid gets killed. Yes. The answer is yes, it was hard to make
it through
the holidays.
It's hard to make it through
every day. Not yes
or no. Yeah. I can just with my own feeling of if something happened to my child, even if it was an accident, like, and they died. I mean, you just can't.
There's currently a $25,000 reward out from some private investor, too, to say that if there's any substantial evidence to prove without a doubt that that case was real. So you think some crazy foil hat kook like myself would figure that out and get $25,000.
It's hard, though, because like the video that I originally watched with my buddy, I went back and tried to show some people, and it's gone. Like, and this is obviously years later. That video is nowhere to be found. There are some other ones that had really they were pretty much unbiased. They were just showing you shots of what the media had that didn't coincide with the information that was coming out. There's supposedly
Facebook memorial pages that were created days prior, like on the 10th.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that you cannot find anymore.
There's Google Earth photos or something, or like satellite images showing like tire tracks in the neighbor's yard, which was actually the guy that was running through the forest, and like police vehicles and people out there, but no one at Lanza's house who lived to the left next door. There's Google Earth images of the school being completely empty with a date timestamp saying that Sandy Hook wasn't actually open for 5 years prior, and that the parking lot is pristine and there's no oil leaks. I mean, they go
And there's another school that's only a few miles away that's actually in use. So like it's like a weird.
The community has received $200 million in aid since the event. So there's weird conspiracies tied to that. They tore the school down now.
Yeah, I know they tore the school down. Yeah,
they tore Lanza's house down. There's just a lot of very strange things. Yeah,
like you can't get back in there and investigate anything. No, like everything is covered up. Everything is, you know, I mean, where are the families now? You know, I mean, like there's no – everything is so sketchy.
They passed legislation for privacy acts based on those so that they would never have to release anything about it, which I'm sympathetic to. Like obviously those families have been through –
Yeah, but what about Columbine? What about all these other things? One of the other big things was immediately after a mass shooting, there's always video from inside the school. This school just was outfitted with cameras and whatnot, a state-of-the-art security system.
Right.
There's been nothing – no videos, no nothing. And every other one, there has been. Why?
The interview with the children, they had them on like several talk shows or, you know, Good Morning America type thing with the kids that did survive and people that were in other classrooms at the school. If there was 156 gunshots, right?
Right.
Kids are going to hear that. The descriptions from the kid interviews are, we thought the janitor knocked some stuff over and then we saw a lot of police. We heard someone who thought they kicked the door and they were trying to kick a door, and then we saw police outside, and we heard the police, and we heard like put your hands up, and like a couple weird things like that. There are some horrific tales of come look at her, come look at him, like of Lanza apparently quoted to say look at them, get over here, and like shooting people and making them look while they shot,
right?
Like horrible things. But the kids would describe 156 gunshots from an AR-15 inside of hallways and classrooms.
They're gonna be loud.
Over the course of 5 minutes.
Loud. Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, for an extended period of time on a school ground, you're not going to mistake that for the janitor knocking.
Especially
some stuff
if you
over.
Live in a hunting community where you know what gunshots.
Yeah, you would know what gunshots sound like more than likely.
I know my kids do. Like they'll hear a shot outside and be like, "Oh, that was somebody shooting a gun out there."
But they never have showed. I mean, and obviously for respectful reasons and privacy,
I doubt
of the family,
it.
They have never showed. Bodies. What? You never see
how,
a body
how
bag.
Is that though?
You never
when
saw
you,
anyone
when you
with
see,
blood.
If
no
you
one ever saw anything.
If you look at every other event though that's happened, the college shootings, Columbine, which was a huge one, they showed all that. They showed bodies getting wheeled out. They
it's
showed
7-year old kids.
They
and
showed
we live in
video.
A time of the of people getting their feelings
there were
hurt
teachers.
About saying little things. You
what
know
about
what I mean?
High school students?
You can't say transgender without someone getting mad. Maybe it's a different time and they just they were respectful. I don't know.
There's been shootings after that. There were shootings in the airport. There were shootings at a Navy base. They all have video. You know, like it just doesn't make any sense to me. Nothing adds up. I'm not saying yes or no. I don't know. But all of this information, Dave had a good account of what happened. But there are so many falsified, fake people. I mean, all the Actors Guild things, which, you know, Snopes had an article and they kind of debunk a whole bunch of stuff. But it's like if you're biased one way, that's how you're going to feel. You can debunk it. Everything is so messed up that if you really believe that it was a hoax, you could be like, nope, that happened. This was this. There's this video. And then if you really think that that's bullshit and it really happened, you can go with the facts and everything makes sense.
So you're saying that there's multiple people who are known to be in the Actors Guild who were on screen for Sandy Hook.
Yes.
And then they were also on screen for completely different things.
Yes.
It seems like there would be you would hire them for something else and not be that sloppy. But there's an entire organization that is like hired in order to simulate
those disasters.
Yeah. And then they have a collective of actors that are crisis actors for those disasters to try to facilitate all that. So what the claim is that they hire those those actors for those events. And there is some convincing video, like Brad's saying, of people side by side looking a lot like it. I just think that when you think about like traditional acting method and like getting into character and the preparation, you just really see through this and it doesn't feel
I just see through it as a parent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Having, I mean, you have kids, Brent.
Like I said, the dog thing to Dave. Like, no, my son's in the first grade. My son is in the first grade right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I would be on a rampage of my own, like you said.
Yeah. I would, I mean, I just can't, I can't buy the argument that these people, they put them on TV and it is the fakest thing I have ever seen.
I cried for a week when my border collie died. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll cry an extreme home makeover.
Honestly, though, when this happened, literally tears came to my eyes because I thought about my kids and that happening to them. And if that happened, like I started breaking down because thinking like, holy shit, if that ever happened, I don't know what I would do. And these people, not a tear.
There is
not a tear.
That picture that you had mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned it on air, but you had said that little blonde girl with Obama.
Yeah.
Because there's a picture of supposedly one of the victims with Obama in the days later, but they're trying to say that it was the sister wearing the hand-me-down dress or something. However, the photo of the family is very odd. It's the Robbie Parker guy's family. Actually, it's his daughter. There is a man and a woman, Robbie Parker and his wife, with two children sitting in their lap. And then very oddly placed that a photographer would not probably put you there. Like the other little girl would have been kneeling in front of them or something to make it symmetrical.
In the family.
Yeah, in the family. She is just off to the left. Like
it's like one of the awkward family photo cards.
And then someone online. Yeah, it's like, oh, there they are. And then someone online overlaid it with the Obama picture, which it's online. It's on the, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's what's hard to do. Like, yeah, but it's Obama's holding this little girl in the same dress.
But they overlay it and fade Obama out, fade the family in, fade Obama out, fade the family in. It's the same picture.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That could be some crazy dude on the internet. It's just trolling.
The other one could have been made up too. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them like singing at the Super Bowl, and this kid showed up here and he's actually from Israel, and this one's from Ireland, and they've tracked him down, and people are nuts. Like, it's just so hard
today. And that's one of the things that the conspiracy theorists really tear up the real evidence because they throw in all this bullshit because they're biased on it. You know, like they don't. So now you're stuck with the facts and a bunch of fucking crazy loons have all this information.
The crazy loons are going to be a factor. It's like even the guy crying fake tears, he's probably just a fucking crazy dude that lives next to the school. Or it's like,
if
the Super Bowl, we want to have a Sandy Hook kid. And it's like some fucking shyster like convinces the Super Bowl committee that their 7-year-old is a Sandy Hook kid. So they get a fucking free backstage pass to the Super Bowl and can watch Janet Jackson's nipple slip. I mean, like people are gonna try to exploit this and like, you know, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I'll need to watch some of these videos.
Yeah. You have to go back and watch them.
I'm not especially convinced that this is fake.
I'm not either. And that's one of the things. I'm on the fence on it because
another part of it is it's like you could. I mean that the like even like you look at a photo, you look at a news clip or whatever. It's like as soon as it starts to come unglued, and people are thinking that this is weird and people are acting weird. Like the internet is gonna only circulate shit with people acting weird. I mean there might be 1,000 interviews of people who are on their knees, broken down, crying, but those aren't the ones that people are wanting. YouTube.
You should be able to find those, and you can't.
Yeah, who would be posting them?
The people who are against the hoax, because there's tons of people who are trying to break down the hoax theory.
I guess that's true.
I'm looking on a website right now that's giving answers to each one of these things.
There's debunkers. Passionate.
Yeah. So those people would be showing the real stuff. The issue is there is no real stuff. It's only their words they're writing.
That's a good point.
So, you know, you would be able to find the shots of, oh, well, here's all the kids. Here's the shot of all the kids.
Right.
These people just didn't show you that. There isn't that. You know what I mean? Like videos are disappearing. Profiles are disappearing. You know, things are being added. You know, it's just nothing adds up to be able to say that, no, this is debunked completely. Like that it really happened. You know, sorry, people, but there's just so many things. And one of the biggest things for me was the parents' behavior. Like all of the people's behavior.
Clip that you showed, I mean, I hope the listeners go and watch it. I mean, this father walks out of the building completely laughing.
Yeah.
And then he walks up, and as soon as he realizes he's on camera, he kind of takes a deep breath and gets all stone-faced and then suddenly looks sad.
Yeah, there's like, a thing. He walks out. The original one is he walks out. He's kind of laughing, smirking, making small talk. And then he goes, okay, are we ready? And then he starts going,
There's a better video. That was just like the quick find it on the fly.
Yeah, and he starts really like huffing and puffing and then starts talking and fakes the, I'm Robbie Parker, you know, so.
Another mentionable one is David and Francine Wheeler.
Yeah,
parents of, I think it was Ben Wheeler.
Yeah.
They are actually actors, like, which could happen. I mean, some that's gonna be their job. But he was in some gun movie, actually, like some crazy gun movie.
Yeah.
Which people tie to it. Obviously, they jump all over it. Her, though, she's in Nicki Nicki Knock Knock, children's song. You have to look it up. I mean, to make light, I'm sorry, but Nicki Nicki Knock Knock, I Can Tie My Shoes. Look those up for Francine Wheeler. And then she also starred in a animated porn called Alien Mutants and did the voice of Sophie in 2001. You know, that doesn't mean her kid didn't die. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, people have jobs, you know?
Well, and like the whole thing, like the debunking of why, well, you know, we've been asking, why aren't the parents acting a certain way? Well, the answer is, of course, because people mourn different ways.
But do all of them? You know what I mean?
Like that—that's the, yeah. I mean,
right?
Really go crazy. There's actually people. I mean, if you really want to get on the crazy scale, Dave, go look up the people who post the Illuminati signs. There's children in the background doing the triangles, doing the devil sign. Like they link all of these Illuminati things into Sandy Hook. That gets a little crazy for me, but they're out there. People are showing photos of that stuff. I don't know if they're photoshopped, but it's kind of creepy.
There's some pretty convincing videos of the helicopter footage from the news where they track like, oh, find this guy with the yellow shirt, find this guy with the green jacket, that people are just like moving, like to be moving, like lights, camera, action, like they're just tracking, they're just walking in circles. Like they just keep filming and this guy's just wandering over here and then he walks back over here and then he walks over there and he walks over there and someone comes up and says, hey, like walk different. You're just walking back and forth. Then he walks in a circle and changes the way he walks and you're like, that dude is just walking in circles. Like what are they doing? Which guy is like, oh my God, I'm at some crazy school and people got shot.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. And the other thing too, like the videos, like we mentioned the police and the children not being there. When you look at the aerial views, there's not that many police there. There's not that, like, if you thought about it, like if something happens big, there's police, fire, ambulance.
No, there's,
you
know, a swarm. I mean? Even in a small town, you're going to get state troopers.
Everybody's going to be there. Yeah. It's dead. It's like, it's really uncanny the things that went down. And maybe it's the area. Maybe, you know, maybe that's
like
just
six
how
cop
it happened.
Cars at Rite Aid for a panhandler. Like,
yeah. And we live in a bigger city and maybe that's all they had. I don't know. Like, it's just really, it really throws you for a loop when you really start looking at the bullshit and what was going on at the time was the gun agenda. It's funny how every time there's a mass shooting, it happens to be when they're really trying to, you know, get the guns out of people's hands. Yeah,
I would just have to say, like this in general, a blanketed statement against all conspiracy theories that when people just automatically just decline, because it's just as bad for them to decline it as it is for us to look at it and even consider it and entertain it. To just decline and only accept what you saw in the general news is crazy.
Yes.
You have to look a little bit. You think it's crazy, if you just entertain the thought for a second to look at the other evidence.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, wait, what? Like, what? Like, if you watch one of those videos of those parents, you're going to watch two of those videos of parents, and then you're going to see Gene Rosin, and you're going to be like, whoa, what's up?
Yeah.
And something's weird.
And you still don't have to believe that it didn't happen, but, I mean, there's something going on.
It probably happened, but it definitely didn't happen the way that it's presented in like, Dave's official story. Yeah. I think there's something wrong with the official story.
I believe so.
It's like the moon landing thing. Like, you probably took a bunch of fake pictures. We probably went.
I mean, but you have to entertain the thought,
the
too,
fake
that,
pictures,
if it was a hoax, I mean, if it was a hoax, like, you're not going to find out about it because there are people in the witness protection program that you won't know about.
Right.
You know what I mean? They have ways of hiding people, of hiding things, of paying people off. You're not going to find out. And then 30 years down the road, something's going to come out, some document. Oh, it really happened. And nobody's going to give a shit about it.
It's past.
I guess the core issue that I get stuck on with this and with a lot of false flag events is when it's a false flag event that's supposed to be part of this taking away our guns thing.
Yeah.
I just instantly have a problem with it because they aren't trying to take away our guns. Like, everybody keeps saying, oh, it's all the legislation taking away our guns. There's no fucking such thing. No one's trying to take away our gun. I mean, everybody says, oh, Obama's trying to take away our guns. Obama has done three things about guns in his presidency. First, he encouraged state and federal law enforcement agencies to do a better job policing current gun laws. Second, he signed a thing that said that you could once again pack guns on Amtrak trains, which got taken away after 9/11. So he expanded gun rights. And then he told people that in national parks, you could now have guns, which you couldn't after the Reagan era. And the Brady Commission, who rates named after the Secret Service agent who got shot defending Ronald Reagan, they consistently give his presidency an F in gun control because he's done nothing to support gun control. But everybody keeps saying false flag event. The government's trying to take away our weapons. And it's like, no, they're fucking not. They haven't done anything to take away our weapons.
Well, one of the things is too, and this is getting off topic, I think you're ill-informed on the gun laws and what's passed and what's been trying to be passed. And it's not necessarily just Obama. We live in California and they're trying to pass laws daily. And it's not just one law here and there. There's hundreds. So that's a whole nother topic. Like I follow them. I get emails on what's trying to be passed, like vote against this, you know, send a letter to your governor. And I'm not saying you're wrong like that. I don't know. Like we could look into that deeper. That could be another topic.
And who knows that there's some like gardening law about you can't have carrots over 12 inches or 22 bullets in that bag when you drive. Yeah. So they do weird shit like that. No, page 152.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know,
and to be fair, I don't know much about individual state laws on guns. I always look because everybody's always saying –
we live in one of the worst places.
Because everybody's always saying the federal government's trying to take away our guns. And I'm always looking. And it isn't. It never has.
They might be winning small battles to like slowly get the states to be into conformity where everything's the same and then they finally win the war.
It would be like – 20 states are doing it. California – gun laws got stronger because of Sandy Hook. Like as soon as Sandy Hook happened, like boom, laws started passing. They started putting out these crazy things. They've been trying to ban, 30 round magazines or high capacity magazines, anything over 10 rounds for the longest time. And every time that one of those laws comes out, one of those mass shootings or people getting killed in a movie theater, type things happens, So it's a weird coincidence. It is.
If there's an earthquake and building code gets more strict, no one's yelling about it.
Well, the thing is, though, it's not the earthquake and then building code. It's they set up the law and they're trying to pass it and they're having trouble and then this thing happens.
Right. And it's not, I mean, we don't have to believe or disbelieve any of this, but I mean, it has to be discussed. I mean, at the beginning of this, you said we're getting off topic. It's not off topic because this notion is the core of why Sandy Hook would have been faked in the first place.
Right. True.
The whole reason that someone, the government, some company, whoever, would have faked Sandy Hook in the first place.
They all have an issue sort of
gun control. Yeah. Like that's what the conspiracy theory is that this is a false flag event to make people afraid of guns to get stricter gun laws. That is the conversation. That's the only reason that people think this conspiracy exists. So it does need to be mentioned.
Yeah. And the Wheelers were the first people other than President Obama or something to do a presidential address to the nation. That couple that I was talking about, the one that was in the porno voice and sings Nicky Knock Knock or whatever. Gave the presidential
address. I hope
that's
her porn name.
Wow.
No, Sophie in the porn.
It would have been better if it was Nicky Nicky Knock Knock.
And they've all become gun advocates, which that you maybe you would if your kids got killed by something like that. Maybe it changes your views. You know, maybe Brad flips a switch over here.
I don't think so.
If something like that happened and all of a sudden
it's not the gun. A criminal is going to get a gun regardless. Like that's the thing. Like some guy breaks into your house, he's a felon and he has a gun.
He doesn't care if it's against the law.
Yeah, they don't care.
That works to a point.
I care if I carry and I don't have a concealed permit because I'm going to have a federal offense on my hands. I care because I'm a law-abiding citizen. A guy who's selling drugs and who needs a gun, who can't have a gun, is going to get one anyway.
Right.
They're going to do what they're going to do. You know, you can't stop criminals from getting guns. All you're going to do is take away guns from everybody else, regardless if somebody went in and killed a bunch of people or not. Like, it doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
If you want to kill a bunch of people, you're going to figure out a way to go and kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, you go to the hardware store or Lowe's and go get fertilizer and diesel fuel at the gas station.
Iranians and bombs. Yeah. They want to kill a busload of people. They kill a busload of people. Like they don't got to go shoot them. They don't got to go stab them. Right. They blow them up. It's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, people still, all fertilizer, all this crazy stuff for bombs are on watch lists. And guess what? You still get bombed. you know, Boston bombing. You still get bombed. It's just after the fact. Right. Oh yeah, he went over here and bought this.
Right.
You know.
Because how, like, I mean, what are you going to stop everyone who buys fertilizer? Like, there goes the farming industry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
sorry.
It's like some, yeah. And, or you have some guy who they make it really hard to get all the stuff. But guess what? The farmer's kid is crazy and he has access to the most massive amount of you know, fertilizer and nitrogen to blow up, you know, a building.
Right.
And he loads it up in a truck, drives off with it, and blows up a neighborhood. Like, you're not going to stop it. I disagree with that.
You are going to stop it. You're not going to stop it, but you can fucking cut it in half. You can cut it down by 70%. Yeah. I mean, the average fucking weirdo isn't going to have a gun in his house that he can go and fucking shoot up a place with. But if he's creative enough, it might make him have to think of something else.
Criminals are actually smart. They just put their smarts towards the wrong thing. Mm-hmm.
You have to set limitations and parameters. Like, if all of a sudden the speed limit's 120, I'm not doing it probably. And if you don't have to wear a seatbelt anymore, I'm probably still wearing mine.
It's just crazy because you think that, you know, gun laws, you already have to show and have a background check that you're not a criminal. You know what I mean? Like, what else can you do? You know what I mean? I don't have to go and buy bullets. I can load my own. You know what I mean? If you really want to get down to it, I can make my own casings. I can make my own projectiles. You can get
most people aren't going to. Most people don't know how. Most people, I mean, and you know,
Internet's
people,
crazy.
People also say it's like, well, criminals can always get guns. And it's like, well, a certain cast of criminal can always get guns. But a lot of people who just want to go shoot up a room wouldn't have any idea how to go. Like, if I ask most people I talk to, can you get an illegal gun and fucking go shoot somebody in a week? They'd be like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, but that's not the person that's going to do it.
But that's the person who's doing these mass shootings. It's just some fucking dude that has guns.
They have the ability to go and kill a bunch of people.
But if Adam Landa's mom hadn't had a bucket full of guns, he would have had to go through the process.
He would have been killed his neighbor.
He has Asperger's.
He kills people. Like, he literally shot his mom in the head 3 times with the .22.
True.
You think that guy's not going to be able to find a gun somewhere and go and strangle somebody and take their gun, 112 pounds or not? I don't know. I might be wrong on that. Yeah. I mean, I could be completely off base. You might be right.
I think Dave's saying some people are going to still be able to do it, but it does change.
That. I said exactly that. Yeah. It would deter them.
Like,
if I'm
suicidal and not a gun owner, if I have a gun at my house and I drink half of a bottle of whiskey, I make that happen. You know what I mean? But if I don't have a gun, I have to like wait 30 days or 2 weeks and go do my stuff. And I'm like, that whiskey wore off. You know what? Those flowers are pretty. It's okay. Right.
And I mean, you're not the type of person. I'm just saying the average person.
It does. Yeah. Setting those limitations.
Yeah. I have guns and I like my guns. And I don't want someone to stop me from having my guns, but it's like I that particular argument where people say, you know, everybody can still get guns. It's like everybody couldn't still get guns. Certain people could get guns for
sure. The issue is, though, is that there's already people who cannot get guns now and they still have them. You know what I mean? Like, they already have federal offenses. They can't just go to a gun store and buy a gun.
Right.
They still get them. Like, I mean, your average person is not going to be the person to where if they took away the gun and they wanted to get a gun, they're going to be able to go get one. That's the average person. I'm talking about the person that's going to be able to walk into a room and kill everybody in the room. You're that driven already. You're going to be able to get something. I mean, in that case, he could have walked in there with a knife and just started stabbing kids.
Right.
Yeah. They're
and
first
and done the same effect. You know what I mean? Stab a lady here, stab this kid, stab this kid, stab this kid. You're still
sound
killing
clip.
Them.
Cut that sound clip.
Yeah. I mean, you're still killing them. Like, I mean, and that's exactly what happens, you know.
It's all, hi, I'm Brad. And we're here.
I mean, this is all,
podcast.
This is all.
Stab that kid, stab that kid, stab that kid, stab that kid.
Yeah. But I mean, this is all my opinion. I mean, it's how I feel. We feel strongly about being able to have our guns and being able to do what we want because that's freedom. And I'm not going to walk down the street. If I walked in here and I set my gun on the table right here, you guys are not going to be afraid that I'm going to shoot you right now.
I'd be a little worried as to why that gun was on the table that day.
A little bit.
Because it's a little bit out of character for me to do that. You know what I mean? But if you did that, you'd say, why'd you bring a gun? Why you send it on the table? You know, like, you wouldn't be worried that I'm going to kill you.
I don't know. I'd be a little nervous. But so, Brad does want to
okay,
be famous.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, I'm not going to kill you. Yeah, so, like, I just feel, the guy who wants to kill you.
Yes.
I just feel differently about it. Like, if you ask the average person that, like you said, Dave, you ask the average person, if I told you, you're going to kill somebody in a week, can you get a gun in a week? They're going to be like, I don't know, because that's the average person.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think if you're in it, and you're making spreadsheets about, you know, this mass killing gets, you know, a 3.0 and this one gets a 6.0, you know, you're either smart enough to start building your own weapons or figure out something, a way to kill people. You know, I mean, I don't know that.
No, I see what you're saying. There's that classification for sure.
You're talking about.
But you
about,
still have to have laws. It's just a slippery slope.
I don't mind going to a place and
taking,
you know,
a test,
getting my ID and taking a small test. Yep. I don't mind that. No. Like, I think the test, like people, oh, you got to take a test to go get a handgun. Well, you better know how to fucking use it before
you need
you
one
buy
to
one.
Drive a fucking car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, people shoot themselves in the face or in the hand or in the leg, you know, because they don't know how to load and unload a weapon, or you're cleaning it with it loaded because you're a fucking idiot.
Right.
Like, or your friend walked in the room and loaded it.
Yeah, I mean,
it
but,
and walked back
and,
out.
And that's the other thing too.
I know,
like, you equate that to taking a test. You take a test to drive a car. You know, you're not supposed to drive after drinking alcohol. People still do it. People still kill people.
They have.
You know
I mean, the laws, like the background checks and everything that you have to do to get a lightsaber are just, I mean, it's fucking impossible. I mean, you have to have a certain metachlorian count. I mean,
oh,
you've got
God.
Like
the blood test involved.
So I mean,
that's a segue
like,
out right there. Cue music.
Yeah. So, I guess we're talk about our sponsors. So that's our. I mean, that's our input on Sandy Hook. That is no way a finished conversation.
Question everything. Yeah. Is my thing. Like, take a look at the parent videos. That's enough. Like, check out Gene Rosin. Check out the parent interview videos.
Yeah. And there's so much crazy conspiracy stuff out there that people are really one sided about it.
What do you mention? The FBI statistics on the website show no deaths in that town.
Yeah.
Like, FBI says zero people died. But I also heard they're really shitty about keeping track of stuff.
The other thing was, though, it wasn't an FBI jurisdiction thing. It was a state jurisdiction type thing. And so
they keep a national tally.
There's so many. There's so many like ways to that didn't happen because of this, you know, and nobody questions it. They say that happened. Oh, well, that was just because that wasn't this and this is this. Oh, okay. Right. Like that, that makes sense.
Yeah, just go look up those videos. If you have questions about something, message us and tell us your opinion on social media for sure.
Yeah, write in, tell us that we're crazy or, you know, I mean, whatever. Like, we want to hear your opinion. This is for you guys, you know, so... we'd like to thank our sponsors, El Yucateco for the hot sauce that Brent loves.
I do. I'm a bottle a week. Nice. I get more flavors than now.
If you could marry a hot sauce bottle, Brent would be engaged right now for sure.
I try it. My ring won't fit over it.
And we want to thank Digital Creations for creating all of our things. And she does blankets, pillows, coffee cups, you know, large format printing, pictures, all that good stuff. VHS transfers, all that stuff. So I want to thank her. If you're in the local area of Bakersfield, you can get your stuff done there. And then that beard stuff, keeping our beards fresh and looking good.
It does smell nice.
Smell good.
I got it in my pocket constantly. Now I'm addicted. I put it on like 3 times a day.
Yep. Yeah, Brent, I'm starting to see Brent has a real problem with addiction.
A little bit.
I'm just, it's really
I wish you could have seen his face when
addiction.
He said a little bit.
It's like more habit, I would call it. It's
heroin has a habit of using heroin every day. That's what we can call it. So we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. We're kind of blowing up, so we appreciate it. And our numbers are staggering us.
And don't forget that we are starting a whiskey wall of fame. If you want to send us whiskey, we'll name the bottle after you.
Yep.
And when we drink it, we say your name every time we drink it. And when it's empty, it goes onto the Whiskey Wall of Fame and stays there.
Then you got to send us another one to keep your name being said. So.
And we are under construction. Brad and I have spent a couple late nights building wooden frames that will become walls, that will become soundproof, that will become our eventual studio. Keep posting pictures. Yeah. If you want to send us Lowe's or Home Depot gift cards, you're more than welcome to do that. It's 1931 I Street, Bakersfield,
any
California, 93301. Yeah.
And don't forget, if you want those t-shirts, log in and get them because they're gonna be gone in another week or so.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I might not update the logos. Like, they'll be gone.
Yeah.
So, like, we won't offer them anymore.
Yeah. So this is your single. Yeah. If you like these logos, get them now because they won't be offered again. Just go to our Facebook page, at Sofa King Podcast, and you will... The permalink is going to be for the t-shirt, so just click on
if you can't find them for whatever reason, just hit us up and
we'll give you
a
link.
No big deal.
And the nature in which that t-shirt thing works creates a situation where if you guys have a funny idea like intergalactic butt plug and you want to quote Dave as cosmic muffin or whatever it is,
interdimensional butt plug,
we could make a t-shirt if there was a funny enough suggestion.
Yeah,
we'll totally do it.
You have to buy one. We're going to call you on it if you tell us to make it and you don't buy it. But it's it's a reasonable price. It's no more than you would pay for some brand name, whatever. And we actually get a little bit of money towards the studio, and you get to sport our swag. So
yeah, really, that's what it's going to. I mean, we have we don't right now. We're not making any money, and we have web space. We have, you know, studio space. We have, you know, equipment that we need to buy to keep this thing fresh and live for you guys. So you're probably fast forwarding through all this and not listening, but I'm saying it anyway. So anyway, with that being said, don't be a retard.
The greatest form of control is where you think you're free when you're being fundamentally manipulated and dictated to. One form of dictatorship is being in a prison cell and you can see the bars and touch it. The other one is sitting in a prison cell, but you can't see the bar. You think you're free.
What the human race is suffering from is mass hypnosis. We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us proud to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and won't awaken to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day.
Everybody is slaves, only some are aware that the government releasing poison in the air. That's the reason I collect so many guns in my lair. I ain't never caught slipping, never underprepared. Yeah, they shade sign on me, they just spray it proudly. George Bush, the grandson of Aleister Crowley. They want you to believe the lie that the enemy's Saudi. The enemy ain't Saudi, the enemy around me. It's fluoride in the water, but nobody know that. It's also a prominent ingredient in Prozac.
For real?
How could any government bestow that upon people who believe in political throwback? That's not all that I'm here to present you. I know about the Black Pope in Solomon's Temple.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
The Vatican assassins and how they will get you. And how they clone Barack Hussein Obama in a test tube.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us proud to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and won't awaken to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end.
Whoever built the pyramids had knowledge of electrical power. And you know that that's the information that they suppress and devour. Who you think the motherfuckers that crashed in the tower? Who you think that made it turn into ash in an hour? The same ones that invaded Jerome. The ones that never told you about the skeletons on the moon. Yeah, the ones that poison all the food you consume. The ones that never told you about the Mount Vesuvius tombs. The bird flu is a lie. The swan flu is a lie. Why would that even come as a surprise? Yeah, the polio vaccine made you die. It caused cancer and it cost a lot of people their lives. Do y'all know about Bohemian Grove? How the world leaders sacrifice the children in robes? Lucifer is God in the public school system. I suggest you open up your ears and you listen.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us proud to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and won't awaken to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of days.
The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real.
If you can persuade them that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you got them. Because they'll laugh in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.